Please be seated. The Appalachian Trail is marked with white blazes. Some trails have different colors, but the Appalachian Trail is marked with white blazes. I learned that particularly about 10 years ago when I accompanied a friend and colleague of mine on the hiking portion of her sabbatical. Now, of course, generally you see the markings on trees, sometimes on rocks, sometimes yet more cleverly placed. They tend to be spaced such that you can go quite some time without seeing one because the way you are supposed to go is obvious, right? Blazes are inserted into the spots where it's not entirely clear which way to go. So then they are a welcome indication that one is on the right track. Even more welcome are the worn wooden signs into which are carved the name of the trail and perhaps the mileage to the next destination. Best of all are the round metal markers that are snugly tapped into the ground at the summit, letting the hiker know that the goal has been attained. Now, since that first trip together, my friend has taken navigation courses, and she now hikes where such hiking is allowed off trail with just a map and a compass. I remain solidly and firmly in the camp of appreciating those clear white blazes or other markers that show me the way. The way. I've seen those words at the entrance of a church driveway on a sign designed to indicate the way traffic should go in order to ensure the smooth flow of things through the parking lot. One simple phrase on a chunky blue and white wooden sign meant to be a clever reference to Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, who calls us to point others to the redemptive work of God in our world. Jesus, who tells us that we are witnesses. He doesn't ask us, as I often do, to consider the ministry of witnessing. He doesn't give us a book about witnessing. He tells his friends, "You are witnesses." So let's just get the obvious out of the way first off. When I say Jesus and witness in the same breath, you think of unpleasant encounters with people who will stop at nothing to get you to see their way, right? Their point of view. Or you think of people who claim never to question their rock-solid belief in God. And chances are good that you don't want to be one of those unpleasant encounters type of people. Chances are also good that your faith in God has wavered from time to time. So you are ready to check out. You have no interest in being a witness. The thing of it is, you already are. Every day, you make statements about things that you know or things that you've seen. You bear witness of things that are of interest to you, things that matter to you, things that you wish to share with others so that they can benefit as well in much the same way you feel you have benefited. You talk about the game last night. You critique the latest movie. You recommend a book. You explain a painting. You describe a meal. And over the years, you've tried different styles to find the one that fits best for you. Maybe you show great enthusiasm. He shoots, he scores, you proclaim. Maybe you offer evocative detail that transports your listener to the scene you are describing. Maybe you're serious, or maybe you're casual. You might forget some facts here or there, but you get right the parts that really matter. There's no one way to tell a story. The important thing is sharing the good news. So you see, it's really not difficult or unpleasant to be a witness. When I say Jesus and witness in the same breath, I think of people who are telling their story. The story of the way in which they have seen God at work in their lives, or someone else's life, or somewhere else altogether. And I know that might sound strange, but just give it a try. Just in your head, think of a time when you have seen God at work in the world. And don't overthink it. I'm not talking about a newsworthy example. Where have you seen God even today? At St. Peter's, I see God at work in all the ways you would expect to see in an Episcopal church. Today is our annual parish meeting. Those of you who've made it here at 10 o'clock are aware of that. You will have a chance to hear some of the highlights and to read about everything that's happened in the past year, or most things. Quite frankly, the depth and breadth of ministry in this place is impressive, and it keeps growing, which is wonderful. So when I come here, I enter campus by turning left onto St. Peter's Road, where the signs at the bottom of the hill proclaim that God is at work in the ministry of St. Peter's Church and St. Peter's Preschool and in the ministry of hospitality of the High Point. Then I turn right into our driveway, and that mailbox and the brochure holder made by some local Girl Scouts tell me that we are receiving and offering information and news. The memorial trees and grave markers honor the people we have committed to God's eternal care for years and years and years. And our 16 acres stretch and roll on every side in our place of refuge, restoration, and life. Often, I pause at the top of the hill and I look over here at the barn and I think about and wonder what might have gone on the night before. And I anticipate what might be happening there that day in this place. Preschool or mom's group, or the bad boys fixing a door again, or the flower guild or the altar guild or the St. Peter's players or choir rehearsal or worship or youth group or Sunday school or adult formation or some kind of meal. And at the historic church, I marvel at the hundreds and thousands of prayers uttered in that place. The baptisms, weddings, and funerals, the shawls knitted, the programs offered, the meetings held in that parish hall, and again, the meals. Prepared for others, those in need, prepared for the ministry and fellowship of this place, prepared to welcome guests in as well. But at St. Peter's, I see God at work most clearly in the way in which you celebrate the differences among you. Now, I know that you don't all get along. I know that you don't all agree with each other or with me. And I know that's difficult sometimes. Still, I see that you respect one another. and that you honor and adore the aspects that make you each unique. Integrity matters here. When I say Jesus and witness in the same breath, I think of people who are telling a beloved story in the best way they know how. Listen, the text tells us today that the disciples were experiencing joy and were disbelieving and were wondering. They are never perfectly articulate and certain. Still, they are witnesses. You know, there was a survey that was given to people attending a training session for the Billy Graham Crusade in Detroit some years ago. And it asked this question among them: what is your greatest hindrance in witnessing? Now remember the audience here, right? What is your greatest hindrance in witnessing? None of them said they didn't really care, but 9% said they were too busy to remember to do it. 28% felt a lack of real information to share. 12% said that their own lives were not speaking as they should, but the largest group, 51%, felt that they had fear of how the other person would react. Now that's pretty interesting. We staid Episcopalians are not the only ones who are not so sure about witnessing. But what good news we have to share. What good news we have to share in this place and in our lives, in this world that could so dearly benefit from the light and the love and the forgiveness of God. Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." You are witnesses of these things.